Satan season. If you go to chapter 2, the Apostle Paul also talks about, go with me if you would, down to verse 6. In chapter 2 he says, and ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk ye in him. Woo! How many of us have received Christ Jesus? Then we are to walk in him. We are to abide in him. He abides in us. Glory to God. We are to walk in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 7, if you would. Rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. Hallelujah. I think we as Christians need to understand that there is a rooting that needs to take place in our lives. There is something we have got to go beyond our just initial experience of loving God. Now don't get me wrong here. Please understand, I'm not through with this. But just loving God and having a good time in church and, you know, reading our Bibles and this and that. You know, it goes on. If it's not very careful, it becomes mundane to us. And just something we're just used to doing all the time. But we're never really rooting ourselves and getting all that we can from God. Because in the world and generation that we live in today, we need to be men and women rooted. Rooted deeply in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that there's nothing that can separate us from God. Nothing can tear us out, as it were, from the ground. Amen? I think many times of those trees that I've seen. Oh, when I used to work in Wilmington, I used to go down to the beach and have some deliveries down in Wilmington. I go down to Kerr Beach and getting close to the ocean down there by the water. And Fort Fisher down there. And I go all the way down and they got a museum area that sit down in there. And I pass by and it gets closer and closer to the water. And all of a sudden I see these trees. And it's an amazing sight because these trees are just bent over. They're all just leaning over. Huge, massive trees. They're just all of them leaning over. All of them in the same direction. And you drive by and look at that. It's kind of amazing. There's a serious wind come through upon these trees. And I was thinking, I'm sure when the hurricanes come through and the big heavy winds come through, that these trees have undergone a lot of punishment. They've undergone a lot of stress. They've undergone a lot of force against them, and so much force that most likely it ripped off all their leaves and things they had on them when the winds hit them. But it did not uproot them. Amazing to me. But it bent them over. And you think they would have come back up. But these are all bent over. And they're growing like that. And I look at them, Lord, what do you want me to get from that? Y'all talk to the Lord like that sometimes. I do. I say, Lord, what can I get from that? You know? And the Lord says, hey, listen, this is the way you need to be. Your life needs to be rooted down because trials and tribulations of life come your way. The forces will be blowing against you. And if you have not taken yourself and rooted in Christ and got down and to know him, to love him, to serve him, just to, as it were, to embrace Christ deeper and deeper day by day, you will not be able to withstand the storms of life that come our way. They will blow and you will be like the tree that's on the sand and your roots will be shallow. And before you know it, you'll be toppled over. We don't want to be as bad as Christians. We want to be strong. The Apostle Paul says, rooted, built up in him. Glory to God. I want to be built up in Christ. I want to make sure that I know what all the wisdom he said in chapter 1 and have the spiritual understanding in verse 9 he talked about, that I can walk worthy unto all pleasing of God. I don't want just a shallow Christianity. I don't want something where I'm not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the wicked when it comes. I want to have on the whole armor of God as it talks in Ephesians. Amen? I want the whole armor to be upon me, the helmet of my salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, my loins girded about with truth, my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Amen, church? Paul paints a wonderful picture and illustration of a soldier and how he takes the shield of faith that he's able to help himself. Praise God. And he takes the sword up and he's able to defend himself. He's strong. He's a man who's able to battle. He's a man who's able to go against whatever comes his way. We need to be rooted, built up in Christ. Woo! Established in the faith, hallelujah. We know that the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. Amen? It is impossible to please God without faith. You came to God. Or I should say, he drew you to him. We didn't choose God, he chose us. Amen? We didn't know any better. Come on, church. Our God loved us so much, he chose us. You are a chosen generation. The Bible says that Peter, a royal priesthood. A holy people, hallelujah. Whom God has brought out of darkness, glory, hallelujah. Whom God has redeemed for his own special purpose. Glory to God. We are his people. And I'm glad tonight that I am part of God. Well, there's some things that about being established, as it were, there are loads to bear. And as I gave illustration with those trees I told you about, they had loads to bear. They came against them. The Christian as well have loads in their lives that they must be able to bear. Oh, God, help me here. Help me here, Lord. Turn over with me just for a second to 2 Corinthians. I want you to see in chapter 12 something here. And we'll go back to Colossians. But 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, beginning in verse 7, says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, he was given great revelations, church, by God. He has seen things that man should not see. Amen? God has given him glorious revelations. Wow. And he says here, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Woo! God did not leave the apostle to be free with these revelations. Amen? He was not to be presumptuous and think that he can go on and tell everyone about them. That's right. There was given to him a messenger, a thorn in the flesh, to buffet him. But I want you to see something what he has done here, because what Paul was able to take what God has given him, and he knew, God knows what the load limit that the Apostle Paul can handle. I like that. God knows what our load limit is. God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able, the Bible says. But with every temptation, make a way of escape, that we may be able to what? Bear it. God, that is how good God is to us. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. In other words, we have a load limit. You have a load limit, Daniel. I have a load limit. God knows each and every one of us. Hallelujah. And he's not going to allow you to be tempted above what you are able to bear. Well, we should glorify God in that, knowing that strength in weakness. Wow, it seemed like a light bulb, I guess, or something went off in the apostle's head, because he said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. How many of us can say that? How many of us can say, I can't wait to glory in my troubles? Oh, bring them on. I can't wait to get in trouble some more. I can't wait for the messenger of Satan to come to buffet me. I just enjoy that. Go ahead, because when he comes and I'm in trials because of him, I'm going to be weak, but that's all right, because he understood when he's weak, God is strong.
Amen,
woo! God is not going to glory in man's flesh. No. He shall receive the glory for himself. I'm telling you, sir. So understand, he says, the power of Christ may rest upon me, and he will glory in his infirmities.
Yeah.
Oh, my. That the glory of Christ will rest upon him. Paul understood what God told him, that, listen, now I know. My God knows my work, my load that I can bear. God knows what I can handle. So I am just going to give myself to my infirmities. Whatever comes my way, God, whatever you bring my way, bring it on. I will glory in them that Christ may be received the whole glory and honor. Wow. Now, if we will begin to think like that, we will begin to think like a lot of other great men through the Bible. Hallelujah. For instance, let's take the man Daniel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know Daniel, when King Darius, Daniel was kind of against persecution. He came against those men who were idiots of Daniel. In charge there with Darius. Darius, he was like his right-hand man. And those men that were around his throne, as it were, they did not like Daniel. They wanted him put down. They wanted him cast out. So they would try anything they could to get this man removed, but nothing would work. Because the God of heaven was over Daniel. He was blessing him. Even though persecutions, even though the winds blew against him, this man Daniel stood strong because he's rooted and grounded in God. Hallelujah. Woo! Well, they contrived a plan together. Oh, we'll go to the king. We'll have to write a law that everyone must bow to the king for the day. And when they hear the trumpets and they sound, everyone has to bow and give honor and glory to the king as God. Well, that sounded good to the king. Yeah, they tricked him. This is how the enemy works, church. But what does Daniel do? He hears the proclamation that's put out there. I like this man, praise God. He hears the enemy's coming against him. He hears what these men have done. And what does he do? He goes back home and he sulks.
No.
He goes back home and says, oh, man, everybody hates me.
No.
He goes and opens the window. Let me open this window here, too. I want to make sure everybody's looking at me, too. Let me open every window in the house. He kneels down. He already had the king writing the laws. He already had the king. did, and Mordecai, the right man for the day. Because she went to prayer and she went to fasting. Hallelujah. And she charged all the people fast with her and pray. And she would go in before the king unannounced. And she says, it's like, I die. You know the story, she goes in, and if the scepter that the king had was not pointed towards you, that you may approach, then you would die. She comes through the door, the king sees her, she hasn't seen him for months. This was a very bold, faithful thing she did. She comes into his presence, unannounced. She wasn't asked to, she just comes in. And the king looks, I imagine he probably got a smile, okay, I'm dreaming again. He probably got a smile on and says, ah, there's Esther. Come on, sweetheart, what do you want? Hey, Dick, don't you think I'm crazy, that's all right. But I believe it, I believe that little smile, and he just, come on. And you know the story, she says, I invite you to a dinner, I want you to come and eat with me. And then she will tell her husband all the things that Haman was planning. God knows our limits and our load limit that we can bear. When she prayed and Mordecai prayed, God answered their prayers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, how about another one in the scripture? How about Elijah and Gehazi? You remember those two? They were circled about with the enemy, the king. The Syrian army was encamped around about them, looking for him. They were outnumbered. Right. And everything was against them. So Gehazi, he sees that, you know, his servant, Elijah's servant. And he said, oh, Elijah, what are we going to do? The Syrians are going to kill us. And I like this man's face. His eyes, that he may see. God knows our load limits. And Gehazi's eyes were open, and he looked about him, and he saw the host of the army of God. Hallelujah. With swords drawn, ready to take care of the problem. All it took was a word. Glory. Don't you know, church, that God has angels encamped around about us? Hallelujah. All we need to do is believe and trust God that he will not lead us, and he will not guide us where we do not need to be. God will take care of us. He knows our load limits. He knows that we, being rooted and grounded in him, we're not going to be turned away. Hallelujah.
In him.
most dollhouse rice alone stickability, you know? They just can't stand. Because they are not rooted.
Right.
I tell you, if you root yourself in God, I know that we're going to go through much persecution still, church. The devil's not done with us.
No, he is.
He's not done with us. We're still here. And as long as we serve God, as long as we trust in the Lord, as long as we bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that devil is on your track.
Right.
And he's going to do everything he can to make your train get off the rails. To get in a shipwreck, or to get in a train wreck, or to just wreck completely. But I want you to know God will keep us. Hallelujah. God will keep us. God will keep us. He's faithful and just. He will deliver us from all those things that come against us. Remember, God knows the loads you can bear. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. He knew what the Apostle Paul had need of. He knew what Meshach and Abednego had need of. He knew what Daniel had need of. He knew what these great men of God had need of. And he is the same yesterday, today, and before. He has not changed. The only one that changes us. If we want all that God has, then we need to root ourselves in God. So the next time you go down to the beach area, or an area that's been hit with the hurricanes over and over, and you see those trees bent, but you don't see them uprooted, they're still there. I'm trying to tell us tonight, church, we may be getting bent over. We may be hurting at times. We may be almost, it seems like, falling down. But God has got us rooted. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We are going to make it. Praise God.
Right.
Woo! Glory. Yes. I tell you, church, it's an amazing thing. I want us to be rooted. I want to get deep down with God.
Right.
I close with this.
I do a lot of things when I drive a truck. I go to a lot of places.
I went to a lumber mill. Big old place. You know, the big old trucks go in, they take all the lumber there, and they do all the stuff they do, and they paper and all that. Big mill. And while I was there, I delivered every day, different items to the storehouse. And all of a sudden, I saw them begin new construction. The side of the building, they lay out the forms. It's a big area, big area. And what are they getting ready to do? The next day I would go, then I saw a truck bring in these huge, oh man, I was going to say 60, probably even 70 to 80 foot steel beams. Able to bear the load that God has for us.
That's right.
We can do great things for God. Amen. God can work through us. God can use us. God can reach this world if we become rooted in Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the brothers and sisters who love you. I just pray, God, that you would take this word, Lord. And Lord, that you would use the example of these great men.